Welcome to Sorted, a podcast for creatives by creatives. I'm Emma.
And I'm Alex. So get your coffee ready and let's get sorted. Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode of Sorted. Today we have a super fun kilobyte episode, being confident as an entrepreneur. And today we're going to be talking all about confidence, which I think is a super important topic to talk about because, you know, sometimes our clients can make us feel like we aren't great designers, we aren't good people, and you're always going to have those people in your life that try to tear you down. But we're here to talk about how to stay confident and how your reactions can help your confidence overall.
Yeah. And I think we're going to talk about, you know, how to stay confident throughout your whole process, throughout the different, you know, times that you're working with clients, and just making sure that, you know, I think as someone, you know, I've hired out people, I think working with someone who has a really streamlined and clean process also really helps exude confidence because it shows that they've done it before. They have a system in place. They have, you know, a structure for the different phases of a project. My first big tip, I would say, with confidence and kind of what Alex said is that you'll definitely have clients, you know, that can knock it down or, you know, when a project doesn't go, projects go sideways or they don't go well or things, you know, happen. Something that I love to do, and I can't remember who recommended I did this. I think it might've been a mentor or something like that, but having a folder on your computer of good notes of things when people are like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, like you're so talented, or I love this, or I'm so happy, or you did everything, you know, even better than I could have imagined. You know, I have these little screenshots of things clients have said to me in a folder on my desktop that if I ever am feeling down, I don't go to it often, but you know, I know it's there. It's kind of like a safety net of, I know it's there. So,
I also see people, and I've done this before too, are turn your testimonials into graphics on your social. So not only are you kind of rereading what good things people have said about you, but others can go in and say, oh, well, so-and-so had a good experience with this designer. I'm going to reach out to them.
Yeah. I think, having your testimonials in that little folder too. So starting like the first thing, you know, I think one of the hardest parts to be confident is a discovery call. I think setting yourself up for success with a discovery call is really important. So personally what I do, and I think Alex does the same thing, where if someone DMs me, if someone reaches out, an email, whatever it is, if they haven't filled out my contact form, I always have them fill that out so that I have the information needed before a discovery call. I have, you know, what the project is like, I can stalk their socials. If they have a website already, I can look at it and I can make sure that I have all the info that I need in order to provide the correct information to the client, the correct pricing to the client, and really go into the discovery call with confidence.
And you're also going to have people who are reaching out to you. They know exactly they want to work with you, right? I mean, budget might be a topic of conversation that could lean them into working with you or not, but some people are like, I love Emma's style. I want to work with her. I don't care about her process. I don't care about anything. I just want to work with her. And then you'll have other people who are like, oh, Alex seems interesting. She seems like she can do logos, print design, web design. I want to know a little bit more about her. And I feel like just this year, I've been asked more to send over a capabilities deck or a list of services or something that's proof of I'm legit. I'm not just a designer who hides in my bedroom and does this. I have an actual studio. I have an actual process. And so that's one of my main tips, is having a capabilities deck that has previous work, that has a list of your services, because sometimes people don't want to dig for things. Like, it could be as simple as they go to your website, they click on your services tab to know what you offer, or they go to your work and they see those. But sometimes they just want it all in one place. They want to just look at one thing and understand what you do after that. And so having a capabilities deck that has all of that, I think, is a super good idea to just have handy on your desktop. So you can share the PDF, you can share the online link, whatever that might be, when they ask for that. And that can give you that credibility right from the get-go. But then you're going to run into your discovery call, right? So you send that, whether or not they want to see the capabilities deck or not, and then you're going to go right into your discovery call. And this is probably the most crucial part of getting new clients, getting new business, is, you know, that the saying like first impressions are everything. And that's so true about discovery calls, right? Because we have to not only have the confidence in our skill and what the people have might looked at on the capabilities deck or on the website, but you also have to sell yourself in your process. So they also have to detect the green flags from the beginning, just like we do too. And so it's just as important that we show our confidence and know our stuff, telling it to these potential clients, as it is for them to kind of see that and get all those green flags from the get-go, because red flags are a very important topic that we'll touch on later in this episode. But detecting all of those flags from the beginning is going to be super important and super valuable. And also, a discovery call could look different for everyone. For me, mine are pretty quick, I would say, like 15 to 20 minutes, because mainly, like Emma said, I have all the information I need from the contact form that you filled out on my website. So I'm coming with questions, coming prepared. I'm also asking questions about the business. This is just me getting to know your business, and this is you getting to know me and my process. This is not a strategy session, which I feel like recently I have run into, where clients get on the phone with me and they want me to answer all of these questions, you know, about, oh, on my current website, I have this, this, and this, and what is a good way to, you know, all of those stuff that, yes, I will answer these questions and give you the answers to them when you hire me. And so it's that balance of not giving too much away, but also letting them know that you have valuable knowledge and you have valuable information that they're going to want to hire you after that. So one thing that Emma does, and I think that we've talked in this in a previous episode, is that she'll give kind of like a sneak peek of, you know, I promise I'm knowledgeable in this area, you know, give a couple pointers and then say, hey, this is actually part of the strategy session. So for an additional whatever cost that might be, we can schedule a strategy call, and for an hour we can talk completely about you and your business and how we can proceed moving forward.
Yeah, because I find that, you know, I'm still learning my business. I'm still learning the ins and outs, but I've helped at this point like over hundreds of businesses, you know, get off the ground with branding and launching. And part of being a good brand designer, and also something that I'm also very deep and embedded into these client relationships. And so I love helping clients, you know, not only just get their branding off the bat, but also helping them with, you know, strategy and processes and organization and onboarding and all those kind of things. And so I've helped all these clients. So I have, you know, not only experience with running my business, but experience with how other people are running theirs. I feel like I've built up enough of a knowledge base with these type of things, especially with like launching and things and you know, strategies and systems and things like that, that I'm able to help clients not only in that beginning stages, but kind of, you know, establishing their business. And I also feel like I've built a good vendor list up of helping people, you know, with a trademark lawyer or someone that can help them with contracts or someone that, you know, an accountant or someone that can help them with copy or, you know, whatever things they might be looking for, you know, packaging and manufacturers and things like that, that, that information, you know, it's nice to package it up into like a strategy call. And a lot of times in my discovery call, I will, if I see fit, if a client really needs it, if they're like, you know, not super set on their initial, you know, business plan, you know, I'll suggest like, let's set up a strategy session, work through what you're talking about, especially solopreneurs, people that are starting out on their own that don't have a team. You know, it's really, those sessions can be really helpful to making sure that, you know, you're building a good foundation for your business. But yeah, so the next area, I think that, you know, it's the entire process of, you know, delivering, you know, mood boards, delivering your strategy, delivering your concepts, whatever it might be, is just being confident and having a backing to your decision making. I think that, you know, I've found that, you know, if you're delivering multiple concepts, or if you're a one concept method girl or guy, or if you're, you know, presenting logo concepts in a different way, no matter what way it is the most important thing is being confident in the way, you know, in your delivery and in your, you know, the knowledge that you have, showing like why you think this logo will work, why you think these colors, you know, will attract the specific audience that these people are looking to attract, why you think, you know, this brand mark will stand out among their competitors or, you know, whatever it may be. But I think that part of it, and I think that you can do this successfully, even if you're delivering multiple concepts. I think that you can be confident and showing that you are helping and you're a professional. The people are hiring you for a reason. They're hiring because you know what you're talking about. They're hiring you because you are a specialist in your area. And I think that a lot of times, and I personally, you know, when I just hired someone to help me with social media for a Golden Hour Guild, so something like that, I don't want to be making decisions. I want someone to come in. I want to be told what to do. I'm hiring someone because I need help in this area. And so I like to be that person for my clients. And so even if you're delivering multiple concepts, you're still telling them, you know, this concept A is strong because of XYZ. Concept B is strong because of XYZ. I think that, you know, these both are good decisions, but you're still delivering in a way where they're not having to, you know, make these extraneous decisions.
Especially because if you are hesitant about presenting your work, they're going to be hesitant about the work that you are presenting. So if you don't show confidence in it, they're not going to see the beautiful work for what it is. And they're going to, you know, kind of start to realize like, oh, they're not even confident right now, or they're hesitant on which logo they prefer. And so a lot of times, like with me, when I present logos, I have clients say, well, which one is your favorite? Because they value your opinion and they want to hear your thoughts and why you prefer one over the other.
Yeah. And I think that also when presenting like logo concepts like that, if you're not super comfortable, you know, doing it live, figuring out a system that works for you. Something I originally started doing it because I wanted to cut back on the amount of Zoom calls I was having, or video calls. I actually use Google Meet, so I don't even use Zoom, but the amount of video calls I was having, it just was like insane. I had 15 calls like a week, which doesn't sound like that many, but it was a lot.
That's a lot.
Like all hour, you know, half an hour yeah. calls. it's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah.
And so I started using Loom, which if you're not familiar, Loom's like a platform where you're basically recording yourself having like a one-way Zoom call, and then you can send it a link and people can rewatch it. And I got so much positive feedback on doing that for logo concepts because I was really able to be articulate. I was really able to think about what I wanted to say. I was really able to, if I wanted to, I could pause the video, then start it again, or I could re-record it. And I think also clients really liked being able to watch it back. And they were able to like look at concept one, then go back, look at concept two, hear what I said, then go back, look at concept three, and then watch it all over again. So if, you know, if you feel like you're not super confident in presenting your work live, maybe switching to something like Loom can be really helpful because you can, you know, your clients can take time to give feedback. I know some designers don't love it because they want to see like live reactions of concepts, but in my personal practice, I'm a huge Loom fan over here.
Yeah, I totally am too. That's exactly how I do it. Now, I've had much larger scale clients who preferred that in-person presentation. And let me tell you, that's the scariest thing in my life. But now I'm like, if I could get through that, I can get through anything. But I do think Loom is very important, especially if you're one to work with small mom and pop shops that might not be able to hop on a call from 9 to 5 or, you know, within working hours.
Yeah.
They want to watch it. They might get home till, you know, 10 p.m. at night. And they're like, this is the only time that I don't have my kids, you know, they're asleep, or, you know, it's the only time they have to themselves. So it works both ways and in a positive way there. And I also think an important part of, you know, when you're presenting your work, getting that immediate reaction, knowing when to educate your clients on something and knowing when to kind of let them take lead and you kind of take a step back. So what I mean by this is, let's say you present something and a client doesn't love your idea first. So obviously, you know, our hearts are broken immediately. But I think what's so important here is just learning to not be so defensive. And this is definitely taking me a lot of time. And it used to be, you know, when somebody didn't like something, I would just you know, want to like cry. I'm like, why? You know what? You could spend hours and hours on a logo and it just not really resonate with somebody. But I've learned over the years of just hearing them out, hearing why they don't like what they like. A lot of times it was just a miscommunication between me, the strategy, the client. There was just some form of miscommunication there. And so I just really try to hear them out and understand why they are, you know, not relating to something. And then maybe educating them. Sure, totally. I completely understand where you're coming from. The reason I did that was because XYZ, and that's where you can tie in your strategy so they know that you just didn't pull this idea out of your butt and that you have facts and you know, you can reiterate the things that maybe the client said at the beginning to know that that impacted your decision. And a lot of times the clients are like, oh yeah, totally. Like, I totally get it now. Thank you for explaining that. And other times you're going to, you have those clients that are like, yeah, I know the reason that you did that was because of that, but I'm still not in love with it. And you say, okay, no problem. Let's make this right. Let's make this work. This happens. Let's go back to the drawing board and see what we can come up with. So I think one compliment that I get all the time is that I'm very receptive to feedback. So I never have my emotions show on my face anymore. I always acknowledge that the client is right, right? They're paying us for our talents. It is our job to educate them. But then it's also our job to sit back and give them what they want and to deliver what they want. And one other important thing that I always like to reiterate too is that design is subjective. I personally believe that there is no one solution to a design problem. You could have multiple solutions. And so you can't please everyone. You're going to have those clients that just aren't vibing with what you do at first. But I think it's our job as the designer to just put our happy face on and give them what they want and what they asked for at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, remaining confident in when you're receiving feedback is kind of, that's mm-hmm. when people say, oh, you're really good at taking feedback. It's that their feedback doesn't mean you're a bad designer. It doesn't mean that you're bad at your job. It doesn't mean that you're doing a bad job. It just means that it didn't land exactly what you said. Design is mm-hmm. subjective. It's in the eye of the beholder, whatever you want to say. Right. You know, that it's definitely, you know, remaining confident in that feedback, I think, is really mm-hmm. important. And it also shows your professionalism to the client, that you're mm-hmm. able to, you know, hear what they have to say, understand, you know, listen to them and take it and actually, you know, apply what they have to say.
Right. And that's the thing that's going to leave the lasting impression. So you could do 9 rounds of logos. I mean, I really hope you don't, but you could do 9 rounds of logos.
We've done it.
But by golly, when you land on that final round and the client loves it, that's what they're going to talk about. They're going to remember how great it was to work with you. And that's when they're going to keep being a returning client, or they're going to tell their friends and others about you because you were so great to work with.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not, you know, as we say this, we don't want, you know, we're not saying get all walked over by your clients and, mm-hmm. you know, there are abusive clients out there and things like that. And so this is with a client that, you know, respects your boundaries, understands, mm-hmm. is, you know, is kind in their feedback, you know, is receptive if you need to charge more for extra rounds or revisions and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also really important to, you know, to remain confident. You have to know when to break up with a client. You have to know mm-hmm. when it's time to end a relationship, or when, you know, the project's going south, or it's just not, you know, the right fit. You know, when you're not seeing eye to eye, when you need to cut off the client relationship. You know, the most important thing to have in place when you're working, you know, with any client, was big, small, you know, a couple hours of work, a 6-month long project, whatever it is making sure that you have a breakup clause in your contract. You know, what files do they get? You know, how much work product do they get if they're ending the project? How much do they owe you depending on where they ended the contract, or if you ended the contract? Having these metrics and these you know, unfortunate, hopefully they never happen, things in place in your contract is just really important, so that you're protected, your work's protected, your IP is protected, and things like that. It's definitely worth, you know, talking to a lawyer about figuring out what you need to have in place for that protection. But, you know, it's also really easy to get caught up when you need to end a client relationship with, you know, they're gonna hate me, they're gonna spread, you know, bad word about my business and things like that. But you can really, you can break up with a client in a positive note, you know, where it's, this is best for both of us. Like, you know, it's obviously not working out. You know, I have a list of designers I can refer you to, that type of thing. Or if it's, you know, a client that is not a good client, you don't want to refer them to anyone, you know, doing it in a way that, you know, is not referring other people to them. But I think that there is a way to go about breaking up with a client that you can leave on a positive note in a friendship, you know, friends after the breakup mm-hmm. vibe.
yeah.
Because I think it's important to, you know, be professional and confident in it, because you never know who they're connected to. You never know, you know, if they might still, I've had a client that I've ended a relationship with still refer work to me because they still liked mm-hmm. me, my process and my work. They just, it wasn't the right fit for the project that, you know, they were trying to do. And so, you know, it's important to include and continue that confidence even at this point of a relationship with a client, because, you know, you never know.
Yeah. And I also think to tie into what I said at the beginning is looking out for the red flags and the green flags from the get-go. So that discovery call is going to be very crucial in looking out for things that might be defined as red flags, because a lot of times it's a trust your gut situation. So if you're getting bad vibes from the first discovery call in that, you know, 10, 15, 20 minute time frame, your instincts are probably right and you probably shouldn't work with this person. And yes, I am speaking from experience, because I always like to see the good in people and I always try to look past little things when in reality those were red flags that I should have detected from the get-go and maybe not taken on the project. So some of the things that I know Emma and I look out for in these discovery calls that could be red flags are things like clients who constantly question your process, or they're just not understanding it, or they might even say that they disagree with it, which I've even had before, because your process is your process and you're the one that's in charge of it. You're the one that can revise it as needed. But like I've had to say to a client before, look, I've had the same, and I said this in a much nicer way, but I've had the same process for almost 3 years now. And yes, I have tweaked it on my own, but it has worked and we have had success. So I truly believe that you shouldn't change your process just for one client, big or small. Somebody who is constantly talking about pricing, maybe they're talking about it in a negative way. Maybe they're trying to get discounts, any form of that. If they don't want to pay you for what you are worth, then that's probably a red flag from the get-go. But there's also clients who come and they're like, I really want to work with you, but you're just not within my budget right now. And so everything is stopping them but the budget, which does happen. So what I always like to say is do what you can do now. I'm always going to be here. So please come back to me when you have the budget, because I would love to work with you just as much as you would want to work with me. Another one that I have gotten a red flag is clients who think that they are doing a favor by hiring you. So this ties back into the topic of, you know, freelancer versus independent designer versus creative studio owner. So a lot of times if I say I'm a freelance designer, it kind of has that negative connotation of I'm over here scraping pennies. And so some people might feel like, oh, I really want to hire somebody local to Indianapolis, and what do you got? What's your timeline? You know, kind of like that dude kind of talk. And that's always a red flag for me, because like, sir, you're not doing me a favor by hiring me. Like, of course I need money to live and to pay my bills, but I want you to work with me because you like my style, you like my process, you like my personality, and so on and so forth. And then the one that always gets me, which I know that this can relate to a lot of other designers, is clients who will say, you know, I have a client, or I have a cousin's brother who can also do this for 5 times cheaper. You know, it's always something. Or the clients that come to you and say, oh, let me get feedback from my dad about this logo, you know, is somebody total left field that's like, whoa, 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 they haven't been involved in this process since the beginning. So those are just some kind of quirky and funny red flags too, but some of them are a little more serious too that you can look out for, some that we've experienced, but I'm sure that there is plenty more red flags out there to just keep an eye on.
Yeah, let us know on Instagram what red flags you look out for, you know, with your clients and your discovery calls. But yeah, we hope that you were able to, you know, get some information about how to stay confident with your clients, with your own business, with your strategy, with your process, you know, throughout, you know, every phase of being an entrepreneur, how to, you know, remain sound of a mind and body. But yeah, get a cup of coffee, get confident, and get sorted. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.